In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to turn back with me again to the lesson from Romans for our looking in detail today. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness but obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness, have not attained their goal? Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written. See, I lay a stone, lay a Zion, a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. The Word. Over the years, I have taught world religion content to people of all different generations, many different times. I've also spent a significant amount of time in my life observing and noting how religion impacts life on a daily basis in the immediate world in which I live and in general across the world. I've also observed, certainly, that there are many people who do their very best to live their life completely free from religion as human beings present it to others. What they fail to understand is that every single one of us has a soul. And at the center of that soul is a chasm that only the true God can fill. And so, as a result, there really is no such thing as any human being that has no religion. Everybody believes something. Even the nihilist, the person who believes that there is nothing supernatural, and when the end of life comes, there is absolutely nothing out there beyond this life. He has a religion whether he wants to admit it or not. And what most people also never come to understand until they study it is that every single other pursuit of religion, in action, philosophy, whatever, that is not defined by the Judeo-Christian scriptures, that are not a scripturally based Christianity that focuses on Christ alone for forgiveness and salvation, every other pursuit of human religion can fall into a singular category. And that category would be of human making. There are so many people in the world who admire others who are spiritual, at least more spiritual than they are. But just being spiritual also simply acknowledges that we all have a soul or spirit that desires and deserves our attention and our nurturing. But all spirituality that does not connect to and then find its total guidance from the Creator of all things will always and only be human answers to elements of our existence that only the God who had created us can actually point to and give true answers. So, in every single human pursuit of philosophy, religion, whatever you want to term it, everything that human beings come up with will always follow the path to eventually coming to the same clearing in the foggy woods of our minds, the same outcome. Apart from a Christianity defined solely by Scripture, every other human pursuit of religion eventually does become a pursuit of the Creator Himself. But the limitations of the human mind in that pursuit will always, without fail, every single time, produce a philosophy or an activity that relies on human beings somehow making God happy, having the responsibility for moving the needle with God. And I find it fascinating, as the words of our verses today, especially the gospel lesson, revealed to us that Jesus, during his time on this earth, defining and revealing who the true God is, spent so much time in, you could call it, conversational verbal combat with religious teachers. The generation of teachers that was presenting the material for most of the Israelites, those living in Jerusalem and surrounding geographical areas at the time of Jesus, were people who knew the Scriptures. In fact, they studied them thoroughly. They likely knew them better from front to end than any other generation that has come before or since. But even though they had God's Word, when you look closely at what they were teaching, they had still built a human-centered religious tradition and practice. While they knew and they acknowledged the true God, they still led people farther away from God eventually by their teaching, by anybody who would be teaching something that we would label as godless. Jesus made clear confession on many occasions of just how wrong-headed they were, that they were looking in the right place but coming to all the wrong conclusions. They interpreted every word of God as pointing at us humans. They insisted on putting the onus on us in regard to making God happy, earning God's pleasure. Jesus called all of that nonsense, he referred to it as burdens that human beings not only couldn't carry, but were never meant to carry and not capable of ever carrying. And that is the conversation that's actually going on in these verses as the Apostle Paul engages us today at the end of Romans 9 and the beginning of Romans 10. Paul takes it up to make a very clear and profound point. He's asking the question, how is it that all kinds of Gentile believers who first came to know God's Word, the gospel, pointing to Jesus Christ through his journeys through their areas, never once knew first the commandments or any of the laws of God and didn't try to keep anything to make God happy, and yet they all now stood righteous before God and welcome in God's sight, certain of heaven with God forever. And yet, that Hebrew nation that had produced Paul had absolutely no freedom from their sins and felt an overwhelming and enduring obligation of obedience to God that clearly permeated every element of their lives and their culture. Paul's point really could be focused on every single human being that has ever pursued religion through the lens of making God happy. Every single person who pursues religion, apart from what God reveals in the heart of His Word, throughout its compilation, from the very first words produced by Moses to the very last words written by the Apostle John, if you aren't finding freedom, forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life apart from everything that and anything you can do, you've missed the purpose of God having them recorded for you in the first place. And you and I have our own very practical experiences in our lives of this concept through the relationships that we've experienced that set this in this contrast in bold relief. I am certain that every single one of us has encountered in our journey of life individuals that made us feel as though they were morally superior to us by the way they lived their lives. They're honest. They are selfless and sacrificial. They're chaste regarding their sexuality. They are patient and compassionate. They basically hit all the marks in such a way that everyone who knows them sooner or later in their experience with them has the thought eventually, this might actually be the best human being I have ever met. But if you are like me, most of the people you encounter in that category do not believe that their only hope of eternal life with God, of being saved for eternal life, is through Jesus Christ living and dying and rising to pay for every last one of their sins. No. Most of these people who are amazing at their ability to live moral lives believe that their stellar behavior is playing some role, or even a significant role, in their being acceptable in God's sight to live with Him forever. And it's very important to understand that anyone who believes that, even in the slightest, should never actually believe themselves to be or present themselves to be a Christian. That's because they've looked Christ directly in the eye and told Him that what He has done for them in living and dying on the cross, overcoming every temptation and completely devoting Himself to obedience to God throughout an entire lifetime, that wasn't good enough. That they must understand their salvation as an equation to which they have to add their own obedience and their own stellar living in order to add enough of what's necessary before God to make themselves righteous before God. And that is exactly what Paul is referring to here when he quotes the Psalms and refers to them eternally stumbling, those who believe that Christ is not enough, stumbling over Christ, the cornerstone of saving Christian faith. The letter to the Romans is a masterclass on the concept of righteousness, God's gift of righteousness. And Romans is consistent to the letter with every other one of Paul's letters that he wrote, and to all of the rest of the New Testament writers' teaching on this topic. And it certainly also agrees with every single place that Jesus speaks in the Gospels about this concept. It's clear that anyone who teaches anything other than righteousness that God requires for salvation, being only and always a gift from God, is establishing their own righteousness. Paul labels it exactly that right here and says they lose the gift of righteousness that God intends for every human sinner to have in and through Christ by actually stumbling over Christ instead of standing on Christ alone in hope of forgiveness and salvation. Any human being good is truly a fable. And it is exceptionally hard for us to get that through our heads. No one is righteous before God apart from Christ. Not one. And our struggle to admit that also becomes the struggle to find the peace that God intends for us to know and live in that might calm and free our souls from burdens God had never intended us to carry. He's carried them all for us. So don't let anyone ever burden you with your need to establish your own righteousness. Don't ever let that happen. Don't let them create rules that they label for you religious necessities that you have to live by in order to be saved. God clearly tells you in His Word that those rules don't exist. God gives us rules and consistently focuses on the rules, but for only three reasons, none of which is ever about us earning anything from God. Not His pleasure, no favors, nothing. So let's take a trip for a moment back to the catechism of our youth, maybe more recently than that, to remind ourselves of why God gave us any rules in the first place. The first use of the rules, the reason for it, is to keep us from completely devastating each other as human beings. On our own, apart from a universal, timeless, objective rule like the Ten Commandments, the human race would have finished itself off long ago. And the Lutheran Catechism calls this reason for rules from God the curb or the barrier use of God's law to keep us generally in line as we live our lives with each other. It's the second reason that God focuses us on the rules that shows us how each of us and how often we have completely broken those rules. Some of us break some of them more often than others, and others of us, we break the others more often, but we all break the rules on a daily basis. Which leads to this enormous heap of sin. And also reminds us that we have to keep in our minds always that God requires a perfection, a flawlessness in the keeping of every one of His laws, every thought, every word, every moment of our lives, everything that we do, if we are hoping that it is obedience that's going to make us right with God. And that is why the Catechism terms this reason for God focusing us on the rules as a mirror. It shows us who we really are. Leaves us absolutely no pretense about establishing our own righteousness. And God's final reason for rules is only of value after we have come to know and believe Jesus is our Savior correctly, the only source of righteousness before God. Once we've got all of that straight and understand how completely Christ's righteousness covers us and frees us from all of our sins, then we have a desire, a rightful desire, to live for God in thankfulness as much as we and as often as we can. His rules give us clarity as to how we can live our lives in ways that keep us from doing things that make God angry with us. That really is the essence of the Christian life. You'll hear it all over the place, and people will point you to it, but don't listen to them. That idea that you keep the rules and you make God happy, that's never going to work. It's the other way around. Someone who is clear on Christ's forgiveness, clear on the gift of righteousness, that it covers them and gives them a completely new identity, their effort is all about looking at God's rules as a way of living that keep you from doing the knuckleheaded things that make God angry with you. You don't want to make God angry. You know He's already happy with you. Jesus made God happy with you long ago. Now it's about never showing God that you're intentionally sinning with a lack of concern at all for what He says is right or wrong in regard to your relationship with Him or your relationship with anyone else, because you no longer desire to make God angry with you. Because you love Him for loving you so unconditionally. It's clear why Paul hopes that you and I, in reading these words, will be warned and will stop stumbling over God's gift of righteousness. Paul wants us to know the freedom, the peace, the hope that Christ intends for us to live every day because of that gift. So let everyone else enslave themselves, as Paul says it, establishing their own righteousness before God. You, Christian, don't fall over that stumbling stone again and again. You know that you are righteous with God. You are welcome in His sight to live with Him forever. And you go live that way as a witness. You live that way as a witness to every other person who believes they're somehow being good and earning their way to God, especially those who put themselves in front of you as Christians, but who are adding their obedience as a way that makes them better in God's eyes and hopefully better in your eyes as well. Because every one of them needs to understand that none of us is earning anything from God by being good. You witness to them what joy and freedom look like and sound like when you let God define your religion for you. After all, isn't His opinion what everyone who is searching for religion is actually looking for in the first place? Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.